Now, everybody dreads a knock at the door and seeing a police officer standing on the doorstep. 10 people were killed last month alone in crashes on the roads in Essex. And that's more than 3 times the fatalities recorded in February last year. And there have been more serious injuries on the roads here than ever before. PC Tracy Bishop works for Essex Police, and it's her job to break the news that somebody has been killed in a road accident. She joins me in the studio. Tracy, thank you for coming in. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a terrible job. What an absolutely appalling job. Before we talk about that, this is quite unusual. 10 deaths in a month, that's very unheard of, isn't it?
It is. It's very unusual. And there's no rhyme nor reason for it at the moment. There's not a particular group of people who's dying. It's not an age group. It's not one particular area. It is all over Essex. And that's why the casualty reduction section, who I work for, are passionate about keeping our roads safe. And people out there driving can make one little change, which could save a life.
Yeah. Now, how does one person get to do... I just assume, probably because most of our knowledge about the police is based on TV shows, I suppose. I just assume that the boss, whoever you're with at the time, just says, oh, we'd like you, just go and tell the family, can you? But
It doesn't work that way. We have gone leaps and bounds. I've been in the job for 28 years now. I've been on traffic for 16. And we now have dedicated family liaison officers who are trained and deal with it, not on a day-to-day basis, because obviously stress levels and other practicalities come into it. But we are specialists in dealing with the death messages and dealing with the families and the aftermath of the crashes. The crashes, as far as I'm concerned, is like throwing a pebble into a pond. The initial splash is the crash, but it's all the ripples that happen afterwards with any police investigation, with the grieving people.
Can you talk me through what it's like to go to somebody's house, knock on the door, and give them that information?
It's absolutely horrendous, because you know when you knock on that door that you are changing those people's lives forever. And you just don't know what reaction you're going to get. You don't know. Sometimes we are given the information of the family background if we can do some intel. 9 times out of 10, we can't. We are just cold calling. We're knocking on that door and saying...
Cold calling?
Cold calling, as in we've got a registration number. We know who that vehicle's registered to.
And supposing it's a young mum with young children around her when you get there?
You just have to go in and you have to ask. Yeah, I've done it with a lady. His motorcyclist got killed in Braintree and had to knock on the door. She was 9 months pregnant.
Oh,
she had 2
dear.
Young children. And you knock on the door and you basically make the inquiries to make sure that you are talking about the right person. And then you just have to tell them, I'm sorry, but your husband has died. And then you have to look out where,
For a lady who's expecting a baby, can that not be dangerous? Should you not have medical, or do you get medical help when you've told them?
Well, obviously, when I knocked on the door, we didn't know the situation.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, we'll be two of us doing the death message. Mm-hmm. And if that is the situation, we knock on neighbours' doors to see if they can come in and sit. We obviously don't leave the relative there. We have to deliver the death message because they have to know. Because there are certain procedures that we have to go.
What sort of strain does that put on you as a person? I mean,
it's horrible. And you go into policeman mode and you deal with whatever you deal with and you do your day's work, and then when you come home and you reflect on it.
Some people know when you knock on the door what you've come to do?
Yes. There's like a sixth sense. And their face says it. They don't want to hear what you're going to say, especially if the loved one is late coming home or they should have been home by a certain time, or they usually phone at a certain time. And then you get me knocking on the door saying, I'm sorry, he's not coming home.
Do you get invited in before? And is the cliche, I think you better sit down? Do you do that?
Yes.
Or do you just say it straight away at the
door?
No,
we come in, we have to ascertain that we are talking to the right people. Mm. And we ask them, obviously, where their loved one is, what they were driving, where they were going, and then say, you know, I'm sorry to say, but he's died, or they've died on the road.
Is there, I mean, do you, if depending on the age of the person, the circumstances of the person you're telling, do you change the way you tell them?
I find it best, personally, to be upfront and honest with them. If you say they've passed away, or there's certain meanings that people do misunderstand, mm. because you've got to remember that you are telling them, you're basically
your
spoiling
life is
their
changing.
World.
Yeah.
You know, their world is being turned upside down. Mm. If they can grasp on a little bit of hope that perhaps it wasn't their son, their daughter, mm. their husband, perhaps they're not really, you know, if they're fatally
injured. And you don't
injured,
want them to do that?
No.
No.
You have to tell them that they've died. Mm. Because if you say fatally injured, they clasp on the word injured.
Yeah.
And think, yeah. oh, well, he'll survive because he's only injured. Or he's passed away. Well, that's not really
And are
clear.
There different ways that people take this? I mean,
oh,
what's
the, definitely.
What is the, yeah. can you tell me some of the ways people react?
I've went to a family once. It was a family. The father was the passenger. He died. The mother was the driver. She mm. was seriously injured, not expected to live. And there was three kids in the car.
Oh, dear.
One seriously injured, mm. two minor injuries. Mm. And they've all gone to different hospitals. So the deceased and two of the kids have gone to Southend. The daughter and one of the kids had gone to Basildon, and we had to get the family to Basildon because she wasn't expected to live. So knocked on the door and ascertained that they were the right family, because obviously the family cell was in that car, so yeah. this is grandparents' mm. parents. Mm. Ascertained they were the right ones, and the dad turned around and says, well, can I not finish my dinner? And it was just total shock. Mm. We've told him that his son-in-law's dead. We've told him that mm. their daughter is going to die, because it looked like at the time. And all we wanted was to get them to the hospital.
It is strange, isn't
to
it?
To say goodbye.
I remember when my mother phoned me and said, your father's died. Mm. You know, I had a heart attack. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I went out and washed the car.
Yeah. It's people's stress mechanisms. Mm. It is. We've had...
Are there always tears or not?
No. It's shock. Mm. Shock affects people in different ways. You know, we've had them go violent. I luckily haven't been, but it is one of those stress reactions. I've had people collapse in front of me, as in totally out, just hit the deck.
Really?
Completely gone. And you know that when you knock on that door, their lives will never, ever be the same again. And it is just absolutely tragic. And it can be stopped by people just taking a little bit more care.
Is there, I mean, are we all culpable ourselves when we're involved in an accident, even if it wasn't our fault? Is there something we could have been doing, more attention we could have been paying?
There is no such thing as an accident. They're collisions. Yep. There's always an element of carelessness in every collision that occurs. Yes, we can do more to stop it. Mm. We can. Just give yourself enough time to react. You know, even silly things like on the A12, where they usually get the domino effect, where one person hasn't seen all the brake lights and you go bang, 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 bang. If you stop behind the car in front and you can see the tyres and tarmac, you've given enough room that if you do get hit up the back, you're not going to go in front of the car front. Little things, little changes can make such a difference. I had one family that I was dealing with over in Saffron Walden. There was a Polish lorry driver, foggy road, in the middle of nowhere, came out of an industrial area and forgot he was in England. He was basically driving on the wrong side of the road.
Oh,
the other driver coming the other way did his utmost to get out of his way. He even went up onto the curb. He was dead because he wasn't wearing his seatbelt. If he'd have been wearing his seatbelt, he would have had a fractured ankle. And it's little things like that. People have to man up and take responsibility of their own actions.
Tracy.
2 seconds to put a seatbelt on. 2 seconds to just not answer that phone.
Do you get psychological help? Do you get counselling?
No.
For you? You don't?
No. We have welfare checks every year. Mm. Being a family liaison officer is a voluntary role. And you know...